Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. On today's episode, I want to talk to you about this truth, that the power of nothing is what produces the power in prayer. Now, the Bible talks much about prayer. We hear much about prayer. I think the beautiful thing about prayer is it crosses most religious and cultural boundaries. Almost everyone, believer, unbeliever, understands something about prayer. And all this talk about prayer, though, the question comes up many times, is there a right way to pray? Is there a wrong way to pray? How can we pray correctly? How can we pray effectively? Where does the power in prayer come from? Now, can I say this? Prayer can be challenging at times. I struggle with prayer. Consistency, praying like I should, praying for things like I should, intercessory prayer versus contemplative prayer, different types of prayer through Scripture. Maybe trying to find the time to pray in the busyness of life and taking the time and learning to pray effectively and following through with what you're learning. These are all the challenges that we will face with prayer. I think we know as believers we're supposed to pray. It's trying to engage in that because it's not like there's someone directly in front of us that we see visually. We know God's there and we know God hears us and He asks us to pray. But it's different when we're standing, staring someone in the eyes and communicating with them. So what tends to happen is we'll pray some on good days, but we typically pray more on bad days. We pray some before we have a need, but typically we'll pray a whole lot more when we have that need. We'll pray some before the emergency ever comes in our lives, but we will typically pray way, way more during the emergency. Now, Jesus begins to teach us in Luke chapter 11. His disciples asked him, "Hey, Master, teach us to pray." And he goes in and he gives them what we refer to as the model prayer. When you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." And then he follows that up with an interesting story here to reveal a deeper truth. He's responding to his disciples about how to pray. And in this story, he teaches a couple powerful and practical truths about prayer. Now, it goes in and he says this. He says, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine is come in his journey, and he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.'" And he says this, "Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Now, let me say this. This is important key to our context here. There have been times as I've read this over the years, especially early on in my Christian life, that I relate God to this friend. But the key of this is that God is not this grumpy, sleepy friend who is hesitant to hear and to answer the one that came to the door. God is one that must not be begged to meet a need. That's not what's being taught here. Jesus never says that God is this friend. And I've, for whatever reason over the years, that it's always, even when I read it now, it's still, I want to lean that way. Because so often Jesus gives us parables and he relates what he's teaching to the kingdom of God or to his Father. But we must understand, and it's very important, otherwise this will create an incorrect view of God. And so the key is to remember that God is not like this friend, but he is our Heavenly Father who wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from his child. And so everything in our passage here is in direct contrast to this friend. What Jesus is doing, he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. He's saying, if you have a human friend who will do this, how much more will your Heavenly Father do for you? And so Jesus reveals a very powerful principle for effective prayer. It's a principle that does something to us personally and then does something for us in prayer. And the principle is this: it's the power of nothing in prayer. If we notice in our passage, this gentleman seeks because he has nothing. That's what propels him. to even go and begin seeking. He has nothing to offer his friend. And in Eastern culture, hospitality is huge. He had an obligation to provide food for his friend. The problem was he had nothing to give. So what does he do? He goes to the one who does have what he needs. He goes to the one who does have the bread and the ability to give. And you see here, it's the power of nothing that produces the power in prayer. The power in prayer comes from the realization that you and I have nothing. We have nothing to give. There's nothing we can do. We're helpless. We don't know what or where else to go. And when something must be done, but you can't do it, this is the power of nothing, and it does something to your prayer life. It does something to my prayer life. It's when we have nothing to offer that we will seek God and seek Him the most. If we think that we've got it, then guess what? We'll not pray like we should. Or if we don't care enough, we will not seek God like we should. So this man starts to seek because he has nothing to offer his friend. The power of nothing produces two important truths about prayer. It's boldness in prayer and persistence in prayer. That's what we see here in our passage. But it was the power of nothing that produced this type of prayer. You see, he's bold in prayer. Why? Because he has nothing. This man is bold, one, by going to his friend's house here, watch this, at midnight. And not only that, he bangs on the door. It's the most inconvenient time possible to even ask for something. It'd be one thing if it was 5 o'clock right before dinner, but here he is, lights are out, he's going to the house, everybody's asleep, and he begins to bang on the door. And there's a hesitation, he bangs on the door. And finally, his friend comes to the door and he says, "Hey, please give me some bread." Ephesians 3:11 says this, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." He says, look, we have boldness. Why do we have boldness? Because we have access to God. Believers have access to God, who is a loving Father. And so because we have that access, and he says here in our passage, access with confidence, you and I can come to God boldly. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Can I say this? Boldness is not pride or arrogance. Boldness is not a demand. Boldness is not irreverent. Boldness is this: it's knowing that God is there, that He is ready to hear, that He wants to hear, and that He wants to answer. Boldness is knowing that God is teaching us to pray this way. You see, it took the power of nothing to produce the boldness in prayer that God is looking for. It was not only boldness that the power of nothing produced. Notice in our passage here that it also produced a persistence. And it was his persistence that got the request answered. God is teaching us a powerful truth that we need to apply to our lives. You see, he is persistent in prayer. Why? Because he has nothing. It said that it was because of his importunity. That means a shameless persistence, a shameless boldness. It could be said this way, a shameless audacity. Someone's like, "What is your audacity that you would come and knock on my door? I can't believe the audacity that you would have to come this time of night to ask me for someone like this." You know, there may be times in your life when you've not asked someone for something. Why? Because you don't want to bother them. You don't want to pester them. You see, but persistence can be hindered by not wanting to bother someone, to seem like a burden, maybe even to show weakness. Now, if you think about a salesman, they're typically a great closer because of their persistence. And God is saying this: I want you to have bold persistence in a relationship with me. I want you as a child that can go to a loving father with bold persistence and asking and requesting and knowing at the minimum the father will listen. He may grant the request just like it's asked. He may ask for a delay. You don't need it now. Let's do this later. He may say, "No, this is not what you need. This is not for your good." But whatever the case is, God wants you and I, because of the relationship that we have, to come to him in boldness with persistence. And can I say this? Persistence will depend a lot on a relationship. Now, if you don't know someone and they are persistent with you, you're more than likely going to do this. You're going to be pestered by them, bothered by them, and probably completely turn them off. Maybe you can think of someone that's like that. They've tried to come sell you something and they're super persistent and you're just like, look, just leave me alone. But when there's a relationship there, a friendship, a depth of a relationship, someone can be persistent with you or you with them, and they're going to understand and they're going to hear and they're going to listen. You see, what provoked this shameless persistent? What caused him to be so shamelessly persistent, to keep knocking and to keep asking? It was this, the power of nothing. You see, he had one objective, and he could not accomplish it on his own, but he would not stop until he got it. He knows he has nothing, but he knows his friend has exactly what he needs. And the power of nothing produced the persistence in prayer, and the persistence in prayer got the answer. You see, when we realize we have nothing and God has it all, only then do we start to pray like God wants us to pray. But I have to ask the question, why does Jesus teach us persistence in prayer? Because when we think about God, and I struggled with this early on in my Christian life, if God already knows everything, and God tells us to come, and in our passage here it says, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, and knocking it shall be open unto you, why on earth do I need to keep asking over and over and over? To me, that didn't make sense. If God says he hears it, God is all-knowing, I just need to ask one time. I don't need to keep asking, asking, asking. That's a waste of time. That's me not trusting. Sometimes we think about it that way. That's me not having faith if I keep asking. But Jesus teaches us here that we are to continue asking. And even in our passage here, the tense of the word here is to keep asking, to keep knocking, and to keep seeking. But I've struggled with that over the years. But I've learned this through scripture and through what Jesus is teaching here. It is persistence in prayer that strengthens our relationship with God. You see, he wants us to have a real relationship with him, a deep relationship with him. And he wants us to come to him. And the only time, let me say this, there's no other way, having no other way is when we realize Christ is the only way. Once somebody hits rock bottom in their life, and I can remember being there as a 20-year-old young man, and I remember it to this day vivid, walking down a street. My car was impounded. I was at the bottom of everything. I had nowhere to go, and I had to make a phone call to finally go somewhere and try to make a change, and it still took a year or two, but that was the moment in my life that was the rock bottom, and I don't share all the details of that, but it was just, I had nothing left. And God used that to open my eyes, to make me say there's got to be something different. There's got to be more to this life, because the way I'm pursuing it is leaving me empty. And it took about a year or two, and God sent somebody by my way to share the gospel with me, that gave me hope, that gave me purpose, that gave me value. It gave me my identity. And so the persistence in prayer strengthens our relationship with God. It may be we need to find ourselves in nothing so that we can come to Christ. And then as a believer, we need to find out who we really are as we compare ourselves to him and the fact that we have nothing. And also, persistence in prayer overcomes our apathy. You see, apathy is when we barely pray. We just don't care. We go through the motions. Apathy is a faith killer. But persistence in prayer, even when we don't feel like praying, the persistence in prayer will help us to overcome that apathy. Persistence in prayer also changes our hearts and our minds. It helps us to understand just how serious we are. You know, you have a kid, he may say, hey, I want that, I want that. And they see something in a store, or online, or whatever it is. And then you never hear anything else about it. It was just kind of one of those quick things, one of those wild ideas, one of those quick wishes. And you and I can flippantly pray to God, hey, do this, ask this, open up this door, you know, create this situation, whatever it is. And if we pray it one or two times and then we forget, you see, the persistence in prayer will help us. It will refine our prayers. It will help us to learn how to express the intensity of the need, and it will show us what is truly important. And I think persistence in prayer will change our heart and our minds like this. You see, sometimes we pray, and there's times when we need to shut up and let God speak. I'm quick and easy to just share this prayer request, share this, this God, I need this, I need this, I need this. But what about in our prayer life to shut up and let Him speak? And then the Spirit can begin to say, hey, yes, yes, you need to pray this. Yes, just keep praying it. Give me time. I'm working. Keep showing me that you want it. Keep speaking with me. Because remember, communication is a two-way street. It's not just us just throwing everything on God. It's also God speaking to us. And as we do that, God begins to refine us. And it shows us, Lord, how serious we are. And as we're quiet, He can say, no. You don't need to pray that. No, you need to adjust it this way. No, no, go over here and pray it this way. And because of that persistence in prayer, it just deepens our relationships, deepens that communication, and allows us to get a hold of the mind and heart of God. And it keeps us dependent on Him because while we're consistently seeking Him, God is teaching us not to only come in emergencies. That's not the point of our passage, but to pray from the power of nothing in our normal prayer life. We need to pray every day, every time, just like we're coming from nothing. And you see, if this persistence finally paid off with the reluctant friend, how much more will persistence pay off with a loving father? He says, keep knocking, and He will answer. Keep asking, and He will answer. Keep seeking, and He will answer. One writer said this persistence in prayer is not an attempt to change God's mind, but to get ourselves to the place where He can trust us with the answer. Now, when it comes to prayer, you may say, I don't even know where to begin. Hey, yeah, I'm just like you, what you said at the beginning. I struggle with prayer too. I'm up and down. I'm consistent. Then I'm not. I pray. I don't pray. I have a hard time finding a time to do it. Maybe it's been a while since you've prayed. You say, where do I start? Just pray what you got. What I mean by that is don't pray, don't begin where you want to be. That's going to lead to nothing but discouragement. When you're saying, I want to be praying 30 minutes every day, you can't get there if you're not already close there. You got to start where you're at, and you got to take baby steps, and you got to be graceful to yourself, and you got to take baby steps, and you got to just try a little bit each day to form a habit, to build a habit of prayer in your life. So don't start where you want to be. Start where you are and make consistent baby steps to get where you want to be. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.